Awareness, Part 2. As I wrote previously, I do come from an abusive home. My opinions, my feelings, my abilities certainly didn't matter except when they inconvenienced the person in power. But I always knew there were things that were important to me. In a sense, I think I have always been better off than most other people because it's not typical for me to choose to do something or to be something simply to fit in. It's easy for me to feel confined and imprisoned in a group. And that can be a bad thing, but it can also be a very good thing. People trap themselves by trying to fit in at any cost. But I've always been very sensitive to that trap, more from instinct than from reason. So following the crowd hasn't been a big part of my life. I knew from the time I learned what martial arts were when I was about 9 years old that I wanted to study martial arts. I knew from the first day I ever watched Doctor Who when I was 12 that this was the best TV show ever. And furthermore, I wanted to write stories just like these stories. No style, no culture, no thundering preachers, nothing ever got me away from those two dreams. I love martial arts, and I love Doctor Who, as it was in the 1970s, and those predilections of mine were so weird, so distinct, so non-conforming that they saved me from more misery than they created for me. So when I got away from home and after I got out of college and grad school and had a job, I considered now what I wanted most of all. And what I wanted most of all was to study martial arts. As God's grace would have it, the best martial arts school I have ever in my life seen was right in Greenville, South Carolina, where I lived. And I enrolled in it and studied Taekwondo Chungdo Kwan for 20 plus years. I rose through the ranks to fourth degree black belt, and then scoliosis, which I had not known I had until I reached my 40s, ended the hard training aspect of my martial arts career. And I wrote and wrote and wrote Doctor Who stories. And then I wrote other stories, and then I was published, and then I made the decision that being published stinks. So I went on writing what I thought I should write, and I got published again without trying, and all over again, I concluded that getting published stinks. So then I went back to writing what I thought I should write, and yes, that included 26 Doctor Who stories, which you can find right on my website at jerrywho.net. Now, I did a lot of other stuff along the way. I put myself through a 2-year technology degree after Bob Jones University. I spent 2 years bicycling. I went to other cities to work and made friends there. I learned how to write validation documentation. I learned a lot about church history. I learned about beer. I learned about scotch. I studied boxing. I learned how to roast coffee. I learned how to document clergy abuse in fundamentalism. So I've been busy. But I always knew what pastimes, avocations I enjoyed. And that's one thing that I think some victims of abuse don't even consider. What do you enjoy, or at the very least, what do you want to do? Be aware of what you like to do, and it doesn't have to be big endeavors. A big endeavor of mine was to get a black belt. But a very pleasant small endeavor is to sit down and watch, yet again, an episode from Doctor Who with beer. Most importantly, don't let other people tell you what you enjoy. Know for yourself what you enjoy and what you find valuable. Awareness for survivors of abuse can make a big difference in how quickly you recover and in how you look at life after abuse. Here's another big question to ask yourself. What do I really believe? Do you really believe in Jesus Christ? Do you really believe you need to forgive your enemies and love those who hate and persecute you? You'd better get all that worked out for yourself. Everybody needs to come to understand what they really believe versus what they say they believe or even what they think they believe. And I keep seeing survivors of abuse getting caught in the crosshairs of strong, self-assured people who are always telling them what they believe. It's a disaster just waiting to happen, again and again, in fact, if you do not really know your own mind. So sit down and figure it out before some Facebook demagogue decides to sacrifice you to her vanity one more time. What do you really believe? And I'm still seeing some pretty hungry, angry demigods out there, so don't think the fact that this one or that one has been driven off has made Facebook or the internet any safer. And here's another question. What kind of person do I want to be? We are all going to suffer in this life. But as Peter observes, it's better to suffer for what you really believe than to suffer because you're a doofus. That's my paraphrase. So what kind of person do you want to be? I wanted to be physically strong in my life. I really did. When I worked out hard in martial arts and gave up all sugar, I got down to 149 pounds at 6 feet tall, and I felt like a ghost. That was a size 10 for a woman of my build. I remember the horror I felt when a woman suggested that I could get down to an 8 with a little more trying. I tried all right. I worked my way up to 165 pounds, a size 12 or 14, and felt good about myself. But for me, physical fitness, physical strength, and the qualities of forthrightness were very important. Living in a world in my mind was important. I read a lot. I liked to talk to educated people and listen to them. I liked to talk to people from other cultures and often get them to tell me their stories. This isn't going to turn into my personal confessional, but what do you want to be in your life? What sort of person? And what do you want to do with your life? Some people value being married and raising children, and some people are desperate to be educated, and some want to be elected to public office, and some want to own their own business. Some want to train animals or just be a good pet owner. I guarantee whatever you want to do, you won't do it in a Facebook group. So you should be aware that you get one life, and that's it. Some of the parameters of that life were handed to you, but there comes a point where you start making most of the choices. So be aware, is what you're doing right now making you happy? Is what you're doing right now furthering you towards what you want to do or be? Is this person or that person good for you? Does this activity or that activity make you more of what you want to be or less? Are you happier or unhappier after you do this or that? Or talk to this or that person. Christians must behave with charity and loving kindness to every person, as much as is possible. But in terms of your friends or the people you let into your mind, you should be careful. When I realized that my willingness to be an open book to anybody who approached me in internet forums and social networking sites was wasting my time, upsetting me, dragging me down, and preventing me from doing the things I think I need to do, I started trimming my online life. I came away from a lot of contacts and had to ask the question, was this time profitably spent? Did I even enjoy having this discussion with this person? Did it serve any good purpose for either of us? A life of awareness enables you to customize where you put your mind, and that's crucial for people who want to recover from abuse and have meaningful, productive lives. So don't be afraid to ask yourself honest questions about what you want and where you are going. Live your life according to the purposes you think your life should serve, not the purposes that some other person sets down for you.